trying all you can. Seems like it's never enough. And what do you say when your friends turn away and you're all alone, all alone? Tell me, what do you give when you've given your all? Seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand, watch the one take you through. After you do what you do, you just stand. Tell me, how do you handle the guilt of your past? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? And how can you smile when your heart has been broken, filled with pain, filled with pain? Tell me, what do you give when you've given your all? Seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand, watch the Lord see you through. 'Cause after you've done all you can, you just stand. And be sure, be not entangled in that bondage again. You just stand and endure, 'cause God has a purpose. Yes, God has a plan. Tell me, what do you do when you've done all you can? It seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just stand, you just stand, stand. Don't you dare give up through the storms. Stand through the rain, through the hurt, yeah, through the pain. Don't you bow, don't you bend. Don't give up, no, don't give in. Hold on, just be strong. God will step in, it won't be long. After you've done all you can, after you've done all you can, after you've gone through the hurt, after you've gone through the pain, after you've gone through the storm, after you've gone through the rain, prayed and cried, I prayed and cried. Oh, prayed and cried. Oh, every night I cried. After you've done all you can, you just stand. Oh, just stand.
Something that just been on my heart is there's so many things that I want to talk about, but I want to try to narrow it down again tonight to taking your drawing your attention back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, and we're going to look at verse number 28. Let's all stand as we look into this, the Word of God here, and we're also going to turn back over to James chapter number 1. And we're going to try to encourage you in some other things in this area of Scripture again tonight. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to his purpose. You know, I think about it many times that things that happen in our lives, and we always wonder, what is God doing? And most of the time, our question, that we may not say it, but in our hearts, we feel like God doesn't know what he's doing. Because it is not what we would have God to do, but it's what God would do in our lives. Tonight, I want to title this, God Working All Things Together for My Good. When I think about the things that God allows to happen in my life. And then if we turn over to James chapter number 1, we focus in and think about, we know all things work together. James gives us another impression of how things work in James chapter number 1. And James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that waveth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Father, thank you again for tonight. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being your servant, wanting to be used by you in a special way to minister to your people. And God, I just pray tonight you would empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit, forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you would want to do tonight in our hearts and in our lives, that we might realize that truly all things do work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to your purpose. Bless us now, I pray. Be with the Taylor family again tonight as we think of all that they're going through, that only you can meet that need. And we pray that you would do it in a special way. As friends and families come in this week, as we look forward to our celebration of Miss Carlene's homegoing, I pray that it would be a rejoicing time and lives would be changed and souls would be saved for all eternity. Bless now, I pray, as we gather here tonight. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I think about this weekend, as we were up in San Diego, and I thought about it this way. Many a times when we go somewhere and we go to a church that we've never been to before, we always have kind of some remorse, or not saying remorse, but we kind of have a tendency to wonder, what is it going to be like? And I thought about it this way. How many of us, when we have those things facing us, how many of you ever really just stopped and prayed and asked God to give you something when you get there? You know, that's what Teresa and I did. We looked online, and, you know, you can always read the doctrinal statement. You can read what they believe, and it all sounds good, and it's scripturally sound. But, you know, you really don't know until you beckon the doors and you go in. Amen. But before we did that, what we decided to do, or what I decided to do, was to pray and ask God to speak to my heart. Because, you know what, I really wanted God to speak to my heart. And I believe a lot of times when we can look at it tonight, when we think about what James is telling us about the things that go on in our lives and all things working together for good for them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose, James is sharing with us, when we go through trials and we don't understand while we are going through what we're going through, how many of us have ever really stopped and asked God for wisdom to understand what it is that he's doing in those trials and those situations and those circumstances that are arising in our lives, that we might be able to better understand, to learn how that we know that all things are working together for good? Because there's two things that are imminent in this area of scripture. It has to be by faith. And if we're going to stand this year, as we said a month ago on a Sunday night, that I believe in order for us to understand that all things do work together for good, we're going to have to believe by faith that God knows what he's doing, what he takes us through. And if we don't believe it by faith and we don't understand, then why don't we ask him what it is that he's doing? Because James is going to tell us that if we ask in faith, God is going to reveal to us what it is that he's doing. And when we got out that morning to go into the church service, I asked God to speak to my heart. And, you know, God spoke to my heart. And I told Teresa as we were riding back, you know, if we didn't do anything else when we got there, I can say this, that the trip was worth what we got when we went to church services that Sunday morning and that Sunday night, because God spoke to our hearts about the importance of understanding that we're no longer condemned. Amen. By the grace of God, there's no more condemnation in our lives to keep us from serving God and to keep us from serving God the way that God wants us to learn how to serve him and God wants us to trust him. I believe a lot of times in hindering us in our Christian life is that Paul is writing here, and chapter number 8 is preceded by Paul saying that there's no more condemnation. There's nothing in our past that should keep us from serving God and trusting God, because he's already forgiven us. But if it was up to the devil, he would want us to keep thinking about the past and holding on to it, that we can never go forth in the future in trusting God in our lives. Because God is still working all things out for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. And not only that, was the message was along that line on Sunday morning, but Sunday night was the fact that we need to learn how to pray. And it's something that every Christian ought to do, is to pray and ask God for what it is that you want from him. Amen. And sometimes we want to understand what God is doing in our lives. But we have not because we ask not. And we're going to see that tonight, hopefully, if we can get off this area. Amen. But when I think about faith, I want to give you an example of, I found here in my study, about what this older elderly lady was asked by a preacher, what is faith? And here is her remark. She said this. She said it was a good answer that was once given by a poor widow or woman to a minister who asked her, what is faith? She replied, I'm ignorant. And I cannot answer well. You know, it kind of reminds me of the used to be, like they said, the old churches used to have this old lady in there. Whenever she got happy, she'd wave her little handkerchief. Amen. And she may not be the most eloquent person in the church, but she says, I'm ignorant and I cannot answer well. But I think it is taking God at his word. That's what faith really is, because we don't always understand what God is doing. But I believe faith is not only the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. But, you know, it pleases God that we would just take him at his word, that all things are working out to good for them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. I thought about this man that was in a hospital back in the Roman days, and somebody told him that his physician was going to give him some poison that night and a portion of medication that he was going to give him. So he read the note. He took the note and he put it under his pillow. And as he read the note, he took it under his pillow. The physician walked in. He took the medication without any problems, gave the physician or his friend the note back, because he wasn't afraid to trust the physician that was giving him the medication that he needed. You know, sometimes it's that way with God. We don't want to take the medication because we don't trust the physician. But you know what? He is the greatest physician, because he knows exactly what it is that we need in our lives. And we need to trust him. And when we don't understand, let us ask in wisdom because we don't understand. And I think about James tonight. He says, and knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Last Sunday night or the last month on a Sunday night, we looked at the expectations of things working together for good. They only work together for good when the conditions are right. Because if you love God, you love the Lord, you are led by the Lord, is the expectations of things working together for good. James brought us over here, or we came to James looking at not only the expectations, but the anticipation, because everything is working together for good. And we know that all things are, we knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. So our reliance is on the fact that God knows what he's doing. So my anticipation is by faith, I can trust him with what he's doing in my life. And my reverence to him was that faith is trusting the divine wisdom, not my own want or my own desires or my own expectations, but it is in trusting God that he's working all things out. And I need to count it all joy because God knows what he's doing. And we not only looked at the pleasure in this reliance and the reverence of it, but we looked at the particulars of the problems that God brings, because there are going to be some trials that's going to come into my life. And I didn't look at it from a joyous point of view, because they are the things that God would bring in my life, knowing that he is working in my life. So we see the particulars. We saw the characters of it. We saw that we need to count them. And he's not telling us it's just going to be one and done. They're going to be multiple trials that's going to come in our lives. He says, count them all joy. And the character of this problems or these things are coming is going to do one or two things. God wants to test us, and Satan wants to tempt us to walk away from the things that God would have us to do. Satan wants to do what verse number 12 tells us, or verse 13 tells us in this same chapter. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Satan wants to bring things into our lives to draw us away from what God wants to do in our lives. And when he draws us away, we are not trusting God, because we're focusing on what Satan is doing in our lives. That's not what God wants to do. But the whole purpose of all of this is to build patience in our lives. And when things happen in our lives, if it's doing the work that God wants us to do, we're going to be patiently waiting for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. Because when we don't take it by faith, knowing that we need to do it patiently, we get ahead of God and we make the decisions and choices that take us out of the will of God in the direction that God wants to take us. And patience is necessary because you know what? God is never in a hurry.
That's right.
We live in an instantaneous society. We want it all done right now. We want it done our way. We want to pop it into the microwave. Poof, it's ready. It's done. It's over. And we don't want to go on to the next thing. God, that's enough. I don't need any more. But you know what? That's not the way that God works. And we have to patiently wait for God. And trials is something that happens, and we're going to have to be patient. And the summary that we looked at of it all was that faith worketh patience. And the surprise here, it disappoints the flesh when we don't allow it to have the control over us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because Paul says, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. God has never had anything good to say about the flesh, because it is contrary to the things that God wants to do in our lives. So we saw the anticipation, the expectations, but I want us to notice something here tonight that I think a lot of us, when it comes to the trials in our lives, and we're going to pick it up here, hopefully, in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So here, he's telling us about these things that are going to happen. And if we don't understand, is in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Have you ever really thought about asking God what it is that he's doing? Most of us, we have no problem with asking God for the material things or for good health or for things that are going on in our lives. But how many of us have ever really asked God to bring more trials into our lives so that we can mature the way that God wants to mature us? We don't want that. And I'll be the first one to tell you I don't want it either. But you know what? I've come to realize that I need those things in my life. And I need to ask God to help me through what it is that I'm going to face. And as we ended last Sunday night or last month on the Sunday night, they understand that this year there's going to be some things that are going to happen. And when we sat here a month ago, we had no idea that Miss Carlene would not be with us this Sunday night. And Pastor had no longer said, and the ink dried or the doors were closed, that we hope that there won't be no deaths this year, and one has already happened. And I don't know, I can't say, but I can say this, I didn't know it was going to happen, but I believe that God prepares us for that which he wants to take us through. And I say this tonight in all honesty, I never understood some of the things that are happening in my life until I've learned how to do some things, and that is to trust God. I look back in my own life, and y'all have heard me say it many a times, that I didn't understand why a God would take my mother at such a young age. I didn't understand why God would take my grandmother who raised me at a older age in my life. But I believe that when I understood and I got saved and I had to learn how to not only trust the same God by faith, I had to trust the same God by faith that the things that he's bringing into my life, he brought those things into my life because he had already prepared me for that which I was going to face. Amen. But if you ask me tonight, I would have never wanted it that way, but I want God's blessings in my life.
That's right.
And it helps me to understand that. And then when I look back at those things, and when it come along to me losing my father, the greatest joy that I have in my life tonight is to know that when my eyes are closed in this world, that I'm going to see my father.
Amen.
In heaven.
Amen.
Because I had the wonderful privilege of leading him to Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? If you ask me, I wouldn't have wanted that in my life. But I know and I understand today that all things work together for good.
That's right.
And that's the best thing that could ever happen in my life. Because now I understand why God would do that. And I believe when we ask God for something and we do it by faith and we're not just wavering as we're going to see as one tossed by the winds and the waters when conditions change, we don't waver and stop trusting God, but we learn how to trust him just a little bit more.
Amen.
Because he's preparing us. He's already prepared us.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't even know that. And when I think about that, I think about what James is saying. I want you to think about it tonight. The next time that you're facing something, stop and ask God, what is he doing? Because God wants to lead in our lives. God wants us to learn some things. God wants to teach us some things. God may want to change some things in our lives. And he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know what? We don't want to ask God. We're going to try to find somebody who will agree with us on what we want to hear.
Help us, Lord. Amen. Help us.
Pastor. Help us.
We don't want to find somebody who's going to take the Bible and show us a biblical reason as to why we ought to do what we ought to do. Namely, first of all, your pastor. You don't want to ask him about how you ought to handle something because he may tell you to do something that's spiritual.
Amen.
But you know what? That's what you ought to want.
Amen.
See, we need to stop praying and asking God for just the material, and the wealth is not what James is talking about. James is talking about spiritual things. What is God wanting to do in my life spiritually? And when you ask him, it's amazing to me. I had no idea of the message that I was going to hear Sunday morning. I had no idea of the message I was going to hear Sunday night. But you know what? God not only answered prayer, God met a need that I had in my life, because I understood some things I never understood before, and that was the importance of prayer. And we know many of reasons why we ought to pray.
Amen.
But sometimes we need to see the, from a different view. And sometimes when we allow the past to shackle us so much that we don't understand that there is no condemnation.
Right.
There is nothing that should be holding us back from our guilt, because that is what's holding us back to allow us to keep moving on in the future.
Right.
And we hold on to those things. But see, God is working all things together for good to them that love him. And you say, bro, you done said a whole lot of things. Let me get to the message. Amen.
Amen.
But it is the petition here of a person who's petitioning. Notice who he's to ask. The petition is to ask God. He didn't tell us to go ask the government to figure out why and what we need in our lives. He says to ask God. You know what? You can get the best answer from spiritual perspective. You can get it from the word of God. You don't have to go and ask somebody else. You don't have to go and ask the government or ask a neighbor or ask a coworker to give you an idea of what you ought to do. You know what? You can ask God. And the product here that he wants us to see when we think about the petition, the product here is to ask if you lack wisdom. In other words, wisdom is not wealth that he's asking for. He's not asking for a temporal need. He's asking God, he says, to go and ask God to give you some understanding as to why he's doing things the way that he's doing it. And it'll help us in the long run. Because we'll learn how to surrender to God's will, because if we trust him, we know he knows exactly what he's doing. And the petition here is for us to promise, is for us to pray. And the prayer has a promise in it. You know, when you think about it, he says in verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Notice, first of all, in this promise for prayer, if we go to God, God is a generous God. I don't know anybody else that could give you what God can give you, because he is so generous in everything that he gives. And James is saying to us in James 4 and verse 2, he says, we have not because we ask not. You can't blame God for not giving you an answer or not showing you or giving you a direction when you never even ask him. So you can't blame God, because he says that God is gracious. Amen. God is not only generous, but God is gracious. He says he upbraideth not. In other words, he will not withhold from you if you ask him, because he's gracious. God does not rebel when we ask. He doesn't scold us. He doesn't get tired of us asking. He doesn't get irritated by us asking him. Isn't it wonderful that you could go to somebody that does not complain about you continually asking him about something that you have a need for? But we always want the material thing.
That's good,
but you know what? I've gotten to the point where my wife and I, we look around, materialistically speaking, we don't have a need for anything. Really, we don't. And most of us that are sitting here under the sound of my voice, when you really think about it, materialistically, you are in no need of anything. You got clothes to put on. You got cars that you drove to get here. We got houses or homes that we live in. We got jobs we're going to go to tomorrow. We got lives that we're going to live from day to day. But you know what is lacking in our lives mostly that we don't ask God for is spiritual understanding.
Amen.
About what's going on. Because he'll give it to you if you ask. He's not going to withhold it. And I want God to do some things in my life this year. So we see here that he's generous, but notice not only in verse number 5 that he's generous, but God is a giving God. And it, notice what it says, and it shall be given unto him if he ask. But I notice that not only in this asking that he's the promise in this prayer, if we pray to him, that he's gracious and he's generous, he's giving, But notice that the provisions here are that has to be met before the prayer can be asked. The asking here in James 5 also has the idea of who to ask. But the emphasis here, if you lack wisdom, those are the things that you should be asking for.
That's right.
And so God is the person that you ought to ask. He says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, trusting God with the answer. And it has to be done in faith. Because if you don't ask in faith, you really may not be receptive to what you get as the answer. I remember some years ago that I prayed about something, and y'all probably heard me say it before. I prayed about an assignment. Where should we go? And why not? Why not? Came up as the answer. Here we go. But you know what? I asked. He answered. He gave. I was okay with that. And the first thing I want to know, is there a good church there? Because the same God that kept me in Germany for 9 years is the same God that would go with me to why not, why not. Aren't you glad that wherever you go,
amen,
that God goes with you?
Amen.
See, you don't have to take a vacation from God when you go somewhere. I was so excited about going to a church and hearing a gospel message that touched my heart, and see a church that is out there wanting to win people to Christ. Maybe they don't do it the shining light way, but they have a heart for lost souls. And you don't see that in a whole lot of churches today. No, you really don't.
No, you're not. No, you don't, Pastor.
God not only met my need physically by getting us there safely, but God met my need spiritually. And not only did God saw my heart, because God knows my heart, because when we are receptive as to what God is doing and not moaning and groaning and complaining about what he's presenting us with, then we might see the spiritual application in it. And God may just change his mind, which he did, and brought us to Tucson, Arizona.
Amen.
And as Pastor said earlier, I would not be standing here before you if God had not brought us here,
amen,
to Tucson.
Amen, Pastor.
And I know that. Because spiritually speaking, I wouldn't be the Christian that I am today, that I believe, because of what God is doing or what God has done in my life since I've been here. But he's asking to emphasize the lack of, because we have not, because we ask not. But in verse 6, he gives us the assurance. But if he asks in faith and not wavering, for he that waveth is like the waves of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. The assurance here is let him ask in faith. The faith here is that we ought to have, that we can trust God with whatever it is that he's doing, and the assurance of it that God will answer, but God will answer according to his way. The example here is of the assurance is a wavering, the expectations and the effect of wavering. I want us to understand something. Now, you ever been in a situation where it's easy to be a Christian when you're around other Christians? And I got bombarded this week. We had a situation to take place in our office. Used to be a group of guys that were in another office, and now we all in the same office. So now we all in the same office, about six or seven of us in an office together now. And you know, everybody comes in and they want to play their music. They want to be loud, and they want to curse, and they want to do all these things. And you know what I thought about it? I said, you know what? I've already prayed and asked God for wisdom. Amen. And so when the opportunity presented itself, one of them got up one day, which was probably Thursday, and just went blankety, blankety, blank. And I said, hold on. We don't roll like that in here, Tony. We don't roll like that in here. You don't just get up and use those kind of foul language in my presence, because I find it offensive to me as a Christian, and I don't want to hear that.
Amen.
And if you got a problem with it, you need to understand that you're not the only person working in this office.
Amen.
And if I find it offensive, then you need to change. Because I don't feel like I have to listen to it.
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. White. I apologize. Apology accepted. Let's work on it. Because I don't want to hear that.
That's right.
I don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
See, because God's going to try our faith. The devil is going to test you. And you don't have to, you know, we ain't got to get in a knuckle fight. Amen.
Amen.
But we still need to stand.
That's right.
And you know, and the devil is going to try you, but you got to trust God. See, it's easy to be a Christian when you're around other Christians. And guess what? This person is professing to be a Christian. I had a tract on my desk. He read it some years ago, a couple of years ago when he first came over there, and said, yeah, we believe the same thing at my church. You need to wash your mouth with soap.
Amen.
Because if you're a Christian, the Bible tells us that you can't have both waters coming out of your body. You can't have sour water and good water coming out of the fountain. It needs to be cleaned up. Because we don't roll like that. And I don't want to hear that. I'm going to respect you. And I want you to respect me. And if we're going to work in close quarters, then we're going to have to set some boundaries and some guidelines. Because when I get upset, I'm not going to talk like that. You know what? If I get upset, you can take some soap and wash my mouth out with it. Because something's happened in my life that ought not be there if I'm saying that I'm a Christian. And it's amazing to me that people that call themselves Christians and have no problem with a foul mouth. And see, that's what James is talking about, this wavering. It's easy to be a Christian when things are going right. And when the conditions change, if you are the right kind of Christian, it ought not throw you off course. In other words, you still ought to be able to trust God no matter what the conditions are, because he's still the same God today, yesterday, and forever. And because we get upset doesn't give us a right to just use foul language and to accept foul language from somebody in our presence because you're professing to be a Christian. But that's what it is. When it comes to wavering, they're okay when they're around Christians, but let something happen and they're around other people who aren't Christian, then we start to act like those people that we are around when we're around them. You know what? That's called being a hypocrite. And James says a person that act like that ought not expect anything from God. And he's not talking about the expectations of just the material things. He's talking about you ought not expect God to give you any wisdom when you have that kind of response to things that happen in your life. He's talking about wisdom. It's not a blanket statement to say that God doesn't answer other prayers. And it's not to say that God's going to answer every prayer that you have. But if you lack wisdom about what God is doing in your life, he's going to show you what he's doing. Because if you ask him, he will show you what it is that he's doing in your life. And I believe that. And I hope you believe that tonight. And I want to close with this one thing to show you a person that asked God to remove this thorn from his side. And we know all of that, who it was the Apostle Paul. We've seen the explanation, the expectations. We've seen the anticipation. But I want us to not only see those things and the petition that was given, but the perception now that we ought to have when it comes to things that are to work out for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that waveth is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, a person who wave and toss all about is a person that'll lie and he'll tell the truth. But how will you know when he's doing either or the other? Because whatever the conditions call for, that's how that person responds and that's how that person acts. And that is not good. But I like the perception here when we realize that all things work together. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians chapter chapter number 12. Because when the Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth, and Apostle Paul has some things going on in his life. And I believe when we realize that all things do work together for good, when we ask God for something, when we don't understand why these things are going on, notice what the Apostle Paul's perception is now. And I believe it's helped our perception to change when it comes to realizing what God is doing. Look at verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So he didn't ask just one time. The Bible says he asked it several times, which is three times. And notice what happens. And he's talking about the Lord. And he said unto me, who is he talking about? God. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He didn't say, Paul, your grace. He says, but my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, the provision of the thorn here, he says, his God said, my God said, my grace is sufficient. So the sufficiency of God's grace is what you need, Paul, more than for me to remove the throne from your side. My grace is what you need. And I believe a lot of times in our Christian life, it is God's grace that is sufficient for the need that we have when we're talking about the spiritual work that's going on in our lives. We've heard it over in the last month. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle that's going on in the Christian life. And God says, my grace is sufficient. So the sufficiency is in the grace of God. But notice, not only we see the sufficiency, he says, but he says, my grace is sufficient to thee. He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the problem and the thing that's going on in your life, Paul, is my sufficiency is there and my strength. You don't have to do it alone. I'm going to give you what you need to be able to go through what it's going to take you through. And notice that what it produced in Paul's life. The provision is there for the throne, for this thorn that is in his side. But notice what he says here, not only in verse number 9, he says, but my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, this is Paul's perception now, because God gave him what? God gave him an answer. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul's perception of what was going on in his life had changed. And what am I saying to us tonight? When we realize that God's grace is sufficient, his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses, when we realize that we can't do it on our own. Paul couldn't get rid of it, and God didn't want to get rid of it. What God wanted to show him was what he had the greatest need of, was his grace upon his life.
Amen.
And his strength can be made perfect when we realize how weak and fragile that we are in our own selves and in our own flesh. And I believe tonight when we realize and our perception changes towards the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that come into our lives, to realize that that same grace that God is telling Paul that he has upon his life, because he's You're my child. You can trust me. I know exactly what I'm doing. Paul says, I most gladly rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. What a marvelous promise that it is. Because what it does, it produces some spiritual character in our lives that we would not have if it had not been for what God takes us through. You know what? You can't get that at Walmart.
No, you cannot, Pastor.
You can't get that at that Red Store.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't get it at Safeway.
No, you cannot.
You can't get it at Fry's. You can't get it at eBay.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Can't get it from any of those sources.
That's right.
It only comes from God.
That's right.
It only comes from God. And notice what he says. I most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, that's how the Apostle Paul's perception changed. Instead of focusing on the problem at hand, he rejoiced. And that's how, when we think about it tonight, James told us that we ought to joy. We ought to rejoice.
Yes.
Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. In other words, God wants to mature us as Christians. We ought not want to be the same way that we used to be. We ought not want to handle issues and problems and trials and testings that come into our lives the same way that we used to. Because if we're maturing in the Lord, we understand that God is working all things together for our good. And we may not understand why he does what he does. But you know what? I've learned through the years, and I pray that the grace of God will continue to show me that I can trust him.
Amen.
I can trust him.
Right.
And it has to be by faith. It has to be by faith.
Yes, sir.
I was sharing with the young people this morning, a faith that's never been tested can't be trusted. And I think about the one Jeremiah I was sharing with Jeremiah was that of David. David didn't want to put on Saul's armor because David said, I haven't proven it. I don't know if that's going to protect me the way that my God had protected me.
That's right.
When I faced the lion.
That's right.
And when I faced the bear. I come in the name of the Lord. And when he went to battle, he wasn't wanting to wear something that he hadn't proven. And when you go into battle this year, you want to wear something and have on the armor of God that's already been proven. That's what you need. That's what we need in our lives. And Paul's perception had changed. And when God says, my grace is sufficient, Paul said, you know what? I'm all right with that.
Amen.
I'm going to go on serving God. Because God has already given me the answer that I really needed. He says, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. Because you'll see me better when you're weak in your own flesh and trying to do things your way. You'll see God better when you realize that his grace is sufficient. And when we change our perception as to how we look at the things that are happening in our lives, we'll be a whole lot better off. Because if you trust him to save you, you ought to trust him to keep you. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. When I trusted him as my Savior, I gave him my life. And he knows far better what to do with it than I ever will. God, thank you for being such a gracious God.
Yes, sir, Pastor White.
He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as the old lady waving the little hanky in the church, that means just take him at his word.
Yes.
Just take him at his word. That's what faith is all about. And you know what? When we go through things, you know what? What I like about the Bible is that you can go to the Bible and somebody's already been where you are.
Amen.
Been through what you're going through. And the Bible tells us that those things are written for our admonition. Because we're a child of God. And all things do work together.
That's right.
For good.
Yes, they do.
To them that love God. And to them that are called according to his purpose.
Yes,
it's not our purpose, but it's his purpose. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect, lacking nothing as we mature in this Christian life because of the trials that God is going to bring. And if you lack wisdom and understanding what it is that God's doing, just ask him. He'll answer you. He don't get tired. He don't get weary. He don't get upset because we ask. Because he wants to give you what you need in order to keep you going. When God answered Paul, Paul went on to write shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, beaten, left for dead, stood before the governor, did all of these things, and had the greatest testimony of anybody in the whole Bible, and wrote many of books because God's grace was sufficient.
Amen.
What about you tonight as Christians? What are you praying for when it comes to trials in your life? God may not remove them, but his grace is sufficient. It was sufficient for the Apostle Paul. It'll be sufficient for you and I.
Amen.
His strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, we ought to take pleasure in rejoicing. And a pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I truly strong that I can stand. Because we're going to need God's grace to stand.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And we're going to need to do it by faith. Because God is a good God. He always comes through. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Let's trust God. You pray for me that I learn to trust God a little bit more each and every day. And I pray for you that you'll learn how to trust God just a little bit more every day. And it has to be by faith. And when we grow in the faith that God wants us to grow in, we'll learn how to trust him. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. But they that cometh to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him by faith. Don't ask if you don't want an answer. Because he'll give it. It may not be what you want to hear. But he knows exactly what you need. And we can trust him. Amen. Isn't he a wonderful God?
Yes, he is.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. Lord, I may not speak with the most eloquent voice as I think about the elderly lady, but I do like what she did say. Faith is just take him at his word because he does not lie. His word is true. And what a comfort it can bring to the Christian life. God, I know that as many of us going to face a lot of struggles and trials this coming year, and it may begin just as we leave this auditorium, but I'm thankful tonight that Paul got his answer, and it was sufficient for him, and he went on continuing to serve you, and may we do that tonight, because the same grace that was sufficient for him and the strength that you gave him to carry on is the same strength that you give us if we seek you. I pray tonight and thank you for the encouraging me as I thought about these things in my life this last week, today as well. And I pray for each one here tonight under the sound of my voice. And we may be home folk tonight, but there still may be one here tonight that's not totally, completely sure of where they may spend eternity. And I pray tonight that there be one here amongst us, then you know your heart of hearts and you know where you are spiritually speaking. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that if you die tonight that you go to heaven, why don't you let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? You know, it doesn't matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, but every one of us need to be saved. And one day we all going to stand before the God of heaven. And he says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Why not come tonight if you're not sure of your place for eternity? Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to ask Miss Natasha to play a hymn of invitation. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. And maybe if you're not here tonight and you do know Christ as your Savior, but God has spoken in your heart about something that you need to do. We're going to have her play the hymn of invitation. And you can come to an old-fashioned altar and let God deal with your heart. It's amazing to me how one subject can be talked about and God speaks in another area. You know, sometimes we ask God for things and we get an answer to other things that we didn't ask about, because God works just that way. You know, when we went to that church that last Sunday, I knew what I wanted from God, and he gave me more than I could have ever hoped for. And as I said earlier, if we didn't get anything else, the trip was worth the message that I heard, that God encouraged my heart. You know, and the Word of God ought to be that way. And I believe as Christians, if we want to see God work in our lives, we have not because we ask not. How many of us really ask God tonight, before you even came to the service, not for my benefit, but for your own, that God would speak to your heart? You know, there ought to be something that we do every time we come to the house of God. They ask God to speak to my heart. And that's what I want God to do. And I pray that God has spoken to your heart tonight. Maybe there's some decisions that you need to make. And only you know